the CAF is forced to delay Fifi's return to the skies. The United Continental merger is at risk from labor strife. And American Airlines pilots don't want to fly with lower fuel reserves. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, June 29th, 2010. If you heard the story here yesterday about the commemorative Air Force making a first flight this week with the world's only remaining airworthy B-29 and got up early and paid $10 to go see it yesterday morning, we apologize. It appears the first flight's been postponed until further notice. To be fair, the CAF and the plane were both ready to go, but the FAA won't be able to get around to issuing a new airworthiness certificate until at least next week. And next week's a short one due to the July 4th holiday. The CAF says it will release updates as available and apologizes for any inconvenience. The CAF Air Power Museum is located near Midland International Airport in Texas. According to the two Airline Pilots Association units involved, negotiations leading to a combined workforce in the United and Continental merger are not going too well, and they say it's not even about money. Reaching an integrated seniority list would allow a newly merged carrier to secure a single operating certificate and reap the full potential of the merger. In keeping with a growing trend, both union groups are using language crafted to make stockholders of both companies lose faith in predictions of operating benefits of the merger, bringing the possibility of stockholder pressure on management. Captain Jay Pierce, chairman of the Continental Unit, says, quote, "If this is an indication of management's approach, I have serious doubts about how long it will be before any of the touted synergies can be achieved," unquote. Captain Wendy Morse, chairman for the United Pilots, concurs, quote, "Obviously, allowing talks to stall over non-economic issues will lead to very predictable results, results that will not attain anywhere near the forecasted synergies that are being touted in this transaction," unquote. She adds that there's time to correct the misstep, but time is of the essence. The ALPA unit at American Airlines is protesting a plan by its management to make flights more efficient by reducing the amount of reserve fuel carried. It's currently 90 minutes, but the FAR requires only half that. UPI reports both sides agree it's normally not a problem, but if a flight has to be diverted due to weather or other considerations, the pilots say carrying less fuel could affect the safety margin for the aircraft and the passengers. Up next on ANN, Boeing barely dodges a machinist strike in St. Louis. The U.S. Air Force will upgrade 50 KC-10 tankers. And U.K. helicopter pilots are training in Jordan. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 29th. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing has avoided a strike by the St. Louis unit of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, IAM Local 837. Facing a strike deadline of Monday morning, Boeing reportedly sought to reclarify its position on a number of the issues, while the union, already empowered by a strike vote, chose to give members another chance to vote on Sunday. This time, the membership voted to accept a plan which includes ending the defined benefits pension plan for any new workers hired after 2011. The contract would also offer 3% raises in years 2 through 5. Local 837 represents 2,500 machinists who work on the F-15 and F-18. The vote Sunday was 1,237 to 838 in favor of the new agreement. Boeing's statement said, quote, "We are very pleased that our employees voted to ratify the contract we have been discussing over the past several weeks. The vote allows us to keep delivering on our commitments to our customers," unquote. Boeing has announced it's received a contract from the U.S. Air Force to upgrade the service's 59 KC-10 tankers with a new communication, navigation, surveillance, and air traffic management system. It's worth $216 million over 5 years, and will equip the planes to operate in both civil and military airspace worldwide under traffic growth projected for 2015. The contract will be managed at Boeing's Long Beach facility. The first airplane will be modified and flight tested in 2012 at the company's San Antonio plant. Boeing will deliver the final modified KC-10 in 2015. The UK's Royal Air Force helicopter crews have been training in the Jordanian desert for the first time in preparation for operations in Afghanistan and to develop relationships with the Royal Jordanian Air Force. Over 300 personnel from RAF Benson and RAF Ottaham, many preparing to go to Afghanistan for the first time, took part in Exercise Desert Vortex in Jordan. Wing Commander John Watson relates, quote, "There were three main reasons to use Jordan: to develop relationships with their Air Force, to carry out pre-deployment training for Afghanistan, and to provide environmental training in realistic and similar conditions to those we will face on operations," unquote. Chinook Pilot Flying Officer Tom Knapp is due to deploy in August, and he says, quote, "You can't replicate these conditions in the UK. The thin air means the engines and aircraft have to work much harder, and the dust and humidity out there are very similar to that which we will face in Afghanistan, making this a great training opportunity," unquote. Still ahead, NASA prepares to launch three new Centennial Challenges. The XPRIZE Foundation announces finalists for its Moonbots contest. And at least one suspected terrorist is a six-year-old girl. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, June 29th. I'm Paul Platt. NASA's Office of the Chief Technologist will host a two-day industry forum starting July 13th to discuss the agency's proposed new space technology investments and announced three new Centennial Challenge prize competitions. The forum will be held at the University of Maryland Inn and Conference Center. Speakers will focus on President Obama's fiscal year 2011 budget request for NASA's new space technology programs. Representatives from industry, academia, and the federal government are invited to discuss strategy, development, and implementation of NASA's proposed new technology-enabled exploration. NASA will also update participants on plans and solicit feedback, information, and relevant ideas. The XPRIZE Foundation and LEGO Group have announced 20 finalists for Moonbots, a global education contest. Using LEGO bricks and Mindstorms components, the challenge requires teams of students to create simulated lunar rovers similar to those competing for the Google Lunar XPRIZE. More than 200 teams from 16 nations registered and completed the requirements of the first phase of the competition, which required both in-depth research about lunar exploration and the use of CAD software to mock up a lunar robot. The contest was open to students between the ages of 9 and 18. All teams will receive a LEGO Mindstorms kit, two-year subscriptions to Wired magazine, and all the LEGO bricks required to build a simulated lunar surface required in the next phase of the competition. Find the list of finalists in the text version of this story, dated June 28th, at aero-news.net. And finally today, this is one of those things the Department of Homeland Security would like you to believe is an urban myth, but it's very real to the family of Alyssa Thomas. She's 6 years old, and she's on the no-fly list. When the family, which lives in the Cleveland, Ohio area, showed up for a recent flight to Minneapolis, the parents say they were told by the ticket agent at the Continental desk Alyssa was on the list. She was eventually allowed to board, but the listing will create a hassle and delay everywhere the family wants to fly. Worth noting, Alyssa's parents say they've flown often, and this has only become a problem since the full implementation of TSA's Secure Flight, which uses date of birth and sex to be sure the right Alyssa Thomas is being hassled. WJW-TV in Cleveland reports that Alyssa's family was told to contact the DHS to clear up the matter. But Alyssa reportedly got back a letter from the feds telling her nothing will be changed. The FBI says they'll have to rely on the common sense of security agents in the case of a 6-year-old on a no-fly list. So, reading between the lines, I guess what they're really saying is that the common sense required to take a little girl they know was born in 2004 off the no-fly list is too much to expect from the FBI or DHS. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Jim Campbell recalls some of the unusual happenings at COPA's Migration 8 in Dayton, Ohio. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.